never quit them.
A lot of people have quit you. A lot of them said they were going to stay with you and had you back, and they give up and gone another way, man. But there is one constant that I find in my life, and that's God. Glory to God. What a blessing to know that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Me and my oldest brother are probably in my family, we're the tightest too, I guess. Always have been that way. He's been more of a daddy to me than he has a brother, really. And several hundred miles separate us by where we live. But I could call him right now. And I could say, Floyd, I need your help. And he'd get in his vehicle and he'd be here before dark. That's the love of a brother. But Brother Larry, there's times that I've tried to call him, maybe just needed to talk, and couldn't get a hold of him. Maybe he was out of area of reception. His phone didn't have signal. And I'd say, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord had reception. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that I have a friend. And we say we found him, but really he found us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. You pray for us this morning. Ask God to help us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. I'll begin reading in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. Father, thank you for the portion of Scripture you directed our hearts to. I pray, God, that you'd enable us to handle the Word of God. Do that you birthed me into this world to do. And God, I'm glad, Lord, that you brought us to these last days for such a time as this. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the services. Thank you, Lord, for this place and this people. And God, how you've used them to help us in these days. And Lord, we are so appreciative of all that you're doing through them. And God, I praise your name for the men of God that have preached, God, thus far and will preach. And God, I thank you, God, that the Word of God is still going forth in a dark and a troublesome time. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us now this morning as we gather out on the side of the road. God, I pray, Lord God, meet with us this morning for a little while. Help us, Lord, I pray, God, to lose sight of ourselves and see a Savior high lifted up. May we see you this morning. May we hear you, what you have to say to our hearts. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that you do. For we ask these things in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Consider the treasures of your heart. Consider the treasures of your heart. Here in the text, it is in the Scriptures, as we begin to look, we think about that word consider. It means to view intently, to sit and fix one's mind upon, to consider something, to stop and muse, if you will. And I think that's part of the problem in the day and hour in which we live. We're so busy doing everything else, we don't have time to hardly get our minds on the holy things. I thank God the things of God and muse to think and to consider what God has to say to our hearts. I got to looking up that word last night and thinking about it. Thank God. And let me give you just a few things and then I'll get to where I'm going. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 15, he says that we need to consider others. For Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat. Amen. And was there astonished for 7 days. Thank God it'd do you and I good every once in a while to consider others. Thank God that in Isaiah chapter 5, he said, consider the works of his hands. 1 Samuel 12 says, consider how great he hath, how great things he hath done for you. Thank God, have you ever stopped and considered what God has done for you? Psalm 119, thank God says, consider. Thank God, he said, I consider how I love thy precepts. We ought to stop and consider how we love his law, how we love his book. Amen. Thank God, then here, thank God in Matthew 12, he says, consider the widow. Thank God, the scriptures are several places deal with widow women. Thank God, he said, stop and consider the widow. Here in the last part of this text this morning, he says, consider the fowl. Then he says, consider the flower. Then he says, consider the field. Amen. There's some things you and I need to stop and look at along this journey. I thank God, here he is giving the Sermon on the Mount. He starts off in chapter 5 and he's giving those blessings. I thank God, what a blessing that is. For in chapter 23, he gives out those curses. I thank God. And we got to be careful. If not, we'll get caught up with all the blessings and forget. I thank God that there are some curses at the end of this thing. He started off blessing his people, but because they had rejected him, but because they had turned a deaf ear to him, but because they would not hearken or hear, he said they have eyes, but they cannot perceive. If they got hearing, they don't understand. Ain't that right? Amen. So he begins by telling us how to be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I got a hold of that back of this, and I think that literally translates, in my heart anyway, blessed are the bankrupt in their spirit. The poor in spirit. How blessed you were the day you got bankrupt. Ain't that right? Thank God. He gives all those blessings. And then he comes down and he tells us, thank God, what we are. He said, ye are the light. Ye are the salt. Then he comes to chapter number 6, or rather chapter 5. He gives us four distinct statements about us. He says in chapter 5, verse 21, ye have heard that it's been said of them of old, thou shalt not kill. He deals with their anger. And the next verse says, if you're angry with your brother without cause. Ain't that right? Verse number 27, he says, ye have heard it's been said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Not only does he deal with anger, but he deals with adultery. In verse 38, he deals with our actions, for he says, ye have heard it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, amen, if a man smite you on the right cheek, give him your left. He deals with our actions. Then in verse 43, he deals with our attitudes. And God, ain't you glad he deals with your attitude? For the Bible says, ye have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse thee. He comes to chapter 6. He comes to chapter 6 and he starts talking to those believers and he tells them how to give. He tells them how to give the alms. And then he tells them how to pray. When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Then he comes down after he teaches them how to give and how to pray. Amen. Then he teaches them, I thank God, not only how to pray and how to give, but he tells them, I thank God, how to fast. Boy, that's about a lost thing in our day, ain't it? God help us. Some things come out only by prayer and fasting. Ain't that what he says? So he's dealt with the children of God and those Hebrews that are listening to him. And he's dealing with them and telling them some things in this sermon. And then he comes to this verse number 19. After he's dealt with their giving, after he's dealt with their prayer, after he's dealt with, thank God, their fasting. And then he says, he starts talking about where their treasure is. Ain't that right? And he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Don't lay up treasures upon the earth. But he said, you need to be thinking beyond this veil of tears. You need to have your mind on an eternal thing. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I'm curious about what the next verse says, because surely he's going to tell me how to make sure my heart's right. But he don't say anything about the heart. He starts talking again about an eye. Huh? Apparently, that eye is where we get our sight. Or that eye is where we get our perception. Or our focus, Brother Danny. And we need to understand, in order for your heart to be right and your treasure to be right, you've got to have the right focus. Now, I wear these glasses because of my eyes are out of focus. I've got to have some strength, external strength, to bring things into focus the way they're supposed to be. Are you listening to me? And I want to say, thank God, as long as you're depending on self, I thank God you're not able to see what God wants you to see, and you're not able to think like God wants you to think, and your treasure won't be what God wants your treasure to be. Amen. Now notice he says, if you're not careful, you'll lay up treasures here and the moth will eat it. And the rust will corrupt it. And the robbers will get it. You get what he said? Oh. But thank God there's some treasures that you can lay up yonder. Amen. And in order to get those treasures up there and get our... Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You get what he said? I think that affection has to do with the heart, don't it? You can't have the right affection. I think that affection comes out of your heart. You love your spouse because of the affection that's in your heart. You love your kids because of the affection that's in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And if your heart gets right and your vision gets right, I thank God then your treasure and your heart will be right. Psalm says, delight thyself in the Lord. Ain't that right? And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now for years I had that all mixed up. And I thought that means God will give me whatever I want. Tell him what that verse means. He said, when you start delighting yourself in the Lord, God will put His desires into your heart. And when God puts His desires in your heart, we're talking about the treasures of your heart. Consider the treasures that are in your heart this morning. I thank God if you're delighting on Him and He's giving you what's in your heart. Amen. Then you can tie to it. The word here, he says, if thy eye be single. I looked that word up. It means to be folded together. It means to be braided. He said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Brother Tim, if we get our desires from Him and we start pushing our heart and our lives toward those things He wants us to have, then it starts getting entwined together. Amen. And there's satisfaction in your heart. I thank God because you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Happy day in your life when you come to the place to where it's nobody but you and God, and you're in perfect harmony. Oh, hallelujah. If your eye be, if it be braided together, folded together. Now how in the world am I going to fold my will into His will? How am I going to fold my life into his life?
Yeah.
Well, if it was up to me, it'd be a mess, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've spent the rest of my life trying to fold it up and get it in. I started to come down here, and I'm not much for packing. I mean, throw my suits on a hanger and put them in a bag, and I'll take them and throw everything else in a suitcase. That's just the way I do things. But my wife don't do things that way. There's order to the way she... There's order to how she puts things in a bag. Amen. Are you listening to me? Thank God, ain't you glad God come along into your life and put some order in your life? It was just a thrown together, cobbled up mess until God started folding it together and putting it in place. And what if she does the packing? A lot of times I watch where she's putting stuff, especially if she's not going with me. Because I don't want to spend 30 minutes looking for something. Every once in a while, I still kind of get a little lost on the journey. And I'll have to call back home. And I'll say, I'm looking for such and such. Where did you do with it? And every once in a while, I have to, in my spiritual journey, find myself calling back to home and saying, Lord, I'm in a mess down here. I'm trying my best to do what you called me to do, but I'm in a mess down here. And I need a little order right here. Where did you put this? Amen. You ever thought about down to, several years ago, I worked in a factory, and part of my job was unloading rail cars. And they bring that material out of the Gulf and up through Atlanta, Georgia. And them boys with the railroad, Norfolk Southern, they told me this. They said, there's thousands and thousands of cars, box cars, down yonder in that roundhouse or whatever they call it down there in Atlanta. And I said, because I called them one night and I said, we're needing material. And where's my material? And he said, it's in Atlanta. And I said, well, I need it here in the morning. He said, ain't going to happen. I said, what's the harm by hooking to a rail car and bringing it to Asheville? He said, you don't realize there's thousands of rail cars down there going different directions. And he said, I have to find your rail car and get it hooked to the right thing to get it to you. And I got to thinking about that in the night last night, about how God hooks things together. How He folds it together. And, you know, I've got a King James Bible, and a lot of times I'll open it and read it, Brother Dan, and I don't get anything out of it. I mean, it's words on paper. But every once in a while, sometimes, Brother Pace, it's just one verse. And God hooks it to the Holy Ghost and powers it, thank God, to my location. And it's exactly what I need. Amen. Have you ever had Him send something special delivery to you? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I thank God for those times He makes, I thank God, special deliveries. Amen. He said, if thy eye be single, if it be braided together. He said that eye, don't miss this, that eye is the light or the lamp of the whole body. You know what it says, Brother Wayne? Now, I don't understand. I'll let you up get somebody smarter than me to explain that to you. But I do know this, that if that eye, that light, that lamp that's inside of you is braided, is hooked together, you can't just have a light. You got to have something for the light to burn. But Wayne taught us that up in Kentucky when he brought that lamp in that time. You got to have a wick. You got to have oil. And you got to have a fire source. And we're living in a day where a whole lot of people got wick, but you burn a little oil and a whole lot less fire source. Ain't that right? God help us in these days. But I'm telling you, thank God, if your heart, if you'll consider these things, if you'll consider what God has for your heart, if you'll consider, thank God, and allow your heart to line up with Him, your treasure will be right. But He said, if your eye be evil, that's what He says, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Sounds to me like that eye, that perception, that focus is controlling the heart, and it's also controlling the treasure. Does that make sense? And we got a whole lot of people that's got warped up focuses. Preacher was preaching about that last night. They're focused on numbers. They're focused on boards. And they're focused on offerings. I like what Brother Mitchell said on last month's CD. He said somebody asked him about a full-time. Is that church full-time? He said, yeah. He said, you go down there and get a job working full-time. Amen. That's a full-time church in the mountains where I'm from. Amen. Are you listening to me? But thanks be unto God. I'm glad that your heart and your treasure, I think, can be right if your focus is right. Five times, I'll say this, I'm done. Five times in that Sermon on the Mount, he mentions the eye. He talks about the eye in chapter 5. If a man look upon a woman, he said, if I offend thee, there's some eyes that are offensive. Do you believe that your focus, your perception could be offensive to God? What you're doing, I'm talking about in the name of God, what you're doing in His work could be offensive to Him.
Right.
Huh? If it's not according to His Word, it's offensive to Him. Let me drop this in right here while I'm thinking about these senses. You got five senses. Sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. Ain't that right? But He spends most of His time talking. We spend a lot of time talking about touch. But He spends a lot of time talking about hearing. He spends a lot of time talking about seeing and perceiving. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then if we're listening to things that are outside of that realm, if faith is built up by our hearing, then our hearing the wrong things would add to our disobedience and our... Are you listening? So we need to be listening to the right things. But you can be sitting in church listening to the right preacher, listening to the right songs, and still have the wrong perception, the wrong focus. And it's easy in this flesh to get your focus off. Ain't that right? Because there's days you don't feel good. And you're sitting on a pew, and you know you ought to be hollering amen at the man of God, but all you're focused on is how bad your head's hurting. How bad your back's hurting. How your blood pressure's so high, and you can hear it in your ears. Come on now. It's easy to get our focus off. It's easy when somebody comes in. It's easy if somebody comes in and they're not exactly the way we expect them to be, to get our mind off of God and get it focused wrong. Amen. I believe in doing everything right. I said it at my church, and I'll say it here. I believe even Lord pets a cat right. They don't nobody like their fur rubbed the wrong way. Ain't that right? You ought to dress right, live right, amen. Talk right. I believe that. But there's something more than the outside. He said that you Pharisees, if you ain't careful, you worry about the outside of the platter. But the inside. You ever got a dirty bowl at a restaurant? How many of you ever got a dirty fork or dirty bowl at a restaurant? How many of you went ahead and just swallowed your pride and eat out of it? Why? It went through the washer. It went through the washer. Come on now, it went through the washer. It's clean, dried food. God help us. You've done the same thing I've done. Hey, ma'am, can I get a new fork? What's wrong, sir? There's something on this one. I'm so sorry. She's offended because there's something on your fork. You wouldn't eat off of that. Amen. But if we ain't careful, We get so caught up with the outside, we forget that the inside man's where the problem is. Amen. I hope I didn't kill it for you this morning. He said, your eyes, if your eye offends, you pluck it out. Then here he talks about a single eye and an evil eye. Amen. In chapter number seven, he talks about your brother's eye. Your brother's eye. You're worried about the mote in your brother's eye. But he said, while you're thinking about the mote in his eye, you need to be worried about the beam in y'all. You go read that sermon about that eye, those 5 mentions. 4 out of the 5, he's talking about thine eye. Sounds to me like we've got more problem with us than we do with them. Amen. The problem, thank God's not with the people out there and what they're doing. The problem's what's going on in my heart. Amen. Thank God. Have you considered the treasures of your heart? If you're going to consider these things, you're going to have to make sure your eyes looking right. You're going to have to make sure your perception is right. Things are not always as they seem. I'm reminded every time I get in my vehicle and look in the side mirror, it says objects are closer than they appear. Ain't that right? Yours says the same thing, don't it? In other words, if you ain't careful, you're looking at it backwards. And it distorts the perception. Could it be this morning that in a Baptist camp meeting, somebody's got their focus wrong? Maybe some preacher, some pastor, some mom has their focus wrong. The goal's not making sure them kids look good on Sunday morning, although that's important. The goal is they end up good way out yonder. And if you ain't careful, you get your focus on right here and you forget that there's a tomorrow coming. See, the reason I say that, Brother Hyde, is I'm to that place where I've got a 21-year-old boy. I've got a 17-year-old girl going on 40. And you that's got teenage girls, and you know what I'm talking about. And I got a 10-year-old. And a 10-year-old's with me in the meeting today, and she's my buddy. The other one used to be my buddy before she found out she knew everything. And some of you kids right here this morning, you're right there. Teenager, and you know everything. The best thing you can do sometimes, young person, is keep your mouth shut and let everybody wonder if you're stupid. It's better to do that than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Our perception gets messed up. Something happens when those hormones kick in a teenager, girls and boys, and their perception gets all out of whack. My boy was 16 years old. I went in, I was getting something out of the refrigerator. Told this the other night at Brother Ken's, I think it was. And he walked up to me in the kitchen, chest bumped me.
Oh, no.
And I backed up and I thought, now, should I handle this the way my daddy did? My daddy would have knocked him unconscious. And that ain't funny. But the Bible says I'm not to be a brawler, so I don't think it'd look good if I choke slam my kid. So in my way of farming, my mind of cattle, I said, son, here's an opportunity to teach. I said, son, have you ever noticed those calves down there, them bull calves, when they get about 500 pounds? I said, they'll paw the ground and snort and carry on just like they're king of the pasture. I said, they'll butt with one another. I said, but have you ever in your life seen the big bull get up from the shade, walk across the field, and seen one of them 500 pounders challenge him? He said, no, Daddy, they're smarter than that. And I said, I'm going to consider that you just stumbled and bumped into the big bull. Are you listening to me? Amen. You know what happened? His focus was wrong. He thought he was a man. Oh, God help us. God help us. There's some people in the pulpit, their focus is wrong. They think they're a man of God. The preacher covered it last night. Some of them ain't even caged snorting in the field. Hey, listen to me. You need to have your focus right. When you leave this camp meeting at the end of the week, you need to have your focus right. Your focus is number one, God. Number two, getting your family to God. And everything else falls behind that. Are you listening to me, preachers? If you're not careful, you'll start. And I battle this because sometimes that boy of mine, when he wanted to do something, I'd say, I know I promised you we'd go fishing, but I got people in the hospital. And I know you don't have any people down here in Salisbury, North Carolina, that's unreasonable, do you? I was in the hospital 15 minutes and the preacher didn't come by. I go visit my folks. Don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. But I can't find there anywhere in that book where it told me to spend my day at the hospital. I can't find where it told me to spend my day in that book. Amen. Well, I just want to come by and tell you, get your focus right. Amen. If you get your focus right, everything else will line up. Amen. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Amen. Amen.